B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stop all the Randy Moss comparisons, okay? Because it's different. Because I played with this guy when he came in. We had conversations when he came in. And it was all about winning football games. That's what it was about. That's what Randy wanted to experience. We experienced that. We didn't finish the job in the Super Bowl. We didn't get it done. But still, it was about winning football games. Antonio Brown is different. Based on all of his activity in the last year, it's all about himself. It's selfish. That's the opinion I have of his behavior up until this point. So he basically, by being signed by the Patriots, everything is important there, okay? Walkthroughs, meetings, practices, meetings after practice. Everything is important. Saturday walkthrough, you got to be there. You got to be present. He has to change. Is that possible? Can he change and be someone that can be reliable on a team that needs him?
That's Teddy Bruschi yesterday on ESPN talking about none other than Antonio Brown, saying he's a guy who's all about himself. He's not about the team. He's about Antonio Brown.
Was Moss like that at some point early in his career? And when he was with the Vikings or with the Raiders? I'd say yeah. It seems like then you get your priorities realigned and other things become important to you, and you get in that culture that Teddy's talking about. And everybody helps you, and okay, yeah, let's go do this. And that's what they need here. And I go back to Randy's Hall of Fame speech, where he thanked greatest coach, Coach Belichick, this and that, but he also wanted to thank Dante Scarnecchia for picking me up when I was down, and I had thinking other things, and he kept me going. I want to thank you, Dante, because that made me be a better and this is where I go back to, it's going to take everybody.
Except
it's not
teams,
just Joe Judge. You know what
except
I mean?
The teams that Randy Moss was on in Oakland, teams that he actually played for, unlike Antonio Brown, who never played a single day in Oakland.
Right.
Didn't play a single game there. The two teams that Randy Moss was on in Oakland were 4-12 and 2-14. They were losers.
Yeah.
They were terrible teams. And Randy Moss was on two horrible teams in Oakland. And he played out 2 years there. And suffered through two terrible years. Antonio Brown hasn't done that. He hasn't been put through the ringer of bad football like that and was desperate to just be on a winning team.
8 straight years, 100 catches in each year.
Yeah, and 4 straight playoff appearances before he decided to tank it at the end of last year. And right. He could have been 5 straight years in the playoffs had he put his mind to it and actually focused and fully committed to his team in 2018, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They could have been a playoff team.
Yeah, but
been.
He had adversity. He wasn't named team MVP.
I know. He wasn't named team MVP, and Juju Smith-Schuster was, and that was really hard. And also, his guaranteed money had run out on his deal, and so that was his sign to start shooting my way out of here because it's not about me anymore. My guaranteed money is drying up, so I got to make sure that I tank it, not be about the team, not be about winning, and be about me.
Make sure they can't franchise tag me.
Right. That's what I got to make sure. Forget winning. Forget focusing on what's important.
But Brady did.
I got to make sure that I care about me because that's what he's about. That's why Teddy Bruschi yesterday said this guy doesn't give a flip about winning. He doesn't care about those things. He cares about himself because it's all about Antonio Brown. Mm. And that's what we've all said about Antonio Brown forever here in New England because it's obvious and we can all see it and we don't debate his talent. The talent is off the charts. But who he is? Selfish. Me, me, me guy. That's who he is. And that's who the Patriots have chosen to get into business with. And we all just sit here and hope for the best. That's what we're doing. You hope for the best.
Yeah.
But when you think Patriot way, it ain't him. He's the opposite of that.
Yeah. Totally.
He is unlike everything that they are and what they preach.
It's like going to bed at night and bringing a rattlesnake in your room. Make sure that snake don't bite you. It's just let's all try to get along here. We're going to sleep tonight. Let him sleep on a hot spot, on a hot rock. You sleep in your bed. Let's just not meet up. Stay away from each other. You know? Not really like that, but I'd bring a rattlesnake in. A cobra. Mamba. Black mamba. It's Kobe.
I know everybody's so hyped up about this move, but it's just something uncomfortable about it. Like, I want it to work, but he's gonna have to show me it works.
I mean, this is like, you know, playing roulette, taking all your chips. Let's put on red or black, man. Let's see what happens. Like, you're biting nails.
Can you be all in? As a fan, you can't be all in until you see something, though, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the respect, and that's what you've been taught here to be as a fan, right? I mean,
like, show me some signs.
Malcolm Floyd, you know, Floyd, when you got here, show us something. Throw a block in Miami. Then people are all in. Another thing, Josh Gordon, last night, and it's just something that sort of came to me. And I'm watching him. Hey, this thing might go wrong in 4 or 5 weeks for him, too. But his eye contact and him speaking was much different than what it was last year. I'm just talking about being, and Mike Reese asked him a question, how's your health more importantly than you as a football player right now? And he answered both. But then you see him make the catch, going for the touchdown on that physical play where he steps through Joe Hayden. He gets it in the end zone. Last year, he'd catch it, catch a touchdown, flex, and go right to the sideline. He's going over right to the fans. He's getting he got excited. So that, to me, is a positive thing. That's something, as a fan, you see and say, okay, maybe I can go back to that statement that he released last week where he doesn't want to talk about the past. He wants to talk about what he's done to get to this point where me going forward, just evaluate me and let me earn your respect as we go forward here.
Did he sound different last night at the podium? It sounded like a different person.
I told Beetle that during the break. I was not blown away, but I'm like, whoa. Isn't the guy I listened to last year just sit there, stare at the podium, answer 3 questions, and then get out? He looked.
It was last year was like slow, monotone voice. Like
he looked in a good place.
Yeah, very comfortable.
Now, again, we've been through this for many years with him, right? You triple, double, cross your thumbs, cross your fingers, do everything, and just hope that this is the beginning of a great year for him. So he seemed different last night, on and off the field.
617-779-0985. Let me go to your calls. Barbara's in Beverly. Barbara.
Hi, guys.
What's going
on? Hi, Babs.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm much better, thank you. My dog passed away, and you guys were the people that took me through the summer. I watch you every day, and you helped me feel better, and I wanted to thank you for that.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Sorry to hear about your dog, and I have a dog, and I've had a couple.
I know, you have a golden like I have.
I know, they're cute.
And they're sweet. But at any rate, I called for something I thought was really positive. I thought Josh Gordon looked different. I thought he fought through the ball, and I thought he really, and he jumped over that guy heading towards the end zone. And in his press conference, he seemed like he really wanted to play. He said he had fun.
That's interesting you bring that up. That catch down the middle into the safety, you know, mm-hmm. later in the game.
Yeah.
You go back to last year, he turns his body and he jumps and maybe tries to catch that in his stomach. Like,
yeah.
He caught that, and then his elbow went up to deliver a hit to the safety. Like, he's looking for contact. That's
yeah,
a scary thing for safety.
I was thrilled for him. And at the press conference, he was smiling and seemed just so much happier. It was exciting to see.
Right.
It really was. But the other thing I wanted to say is Gronk, I want him to stay retired because I want him to take care of his body, and I wish him well. But I wanted to ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
What do you truly – I know that so you and I like Antonio Brown, but the conversation that he had with Drew Rosenhaus that he taped, he said it would be an honor to play with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft. So do you think that will make a difference in his attitude, or do you think he's just going to stay the same?
A little bit. I believe ultimately he wants to be – he wanted and wants to be here. And I think the Raiders, he just got out there and said, I'm not doing this. And I think he got together with the agent and said, what do I got to do to get out of here and get me to where we need to go? That's the way this thing's looking more and more. And you look, and when he got released, nobody celebrates like that when you get released. Like, damn, they cut my ass. Like, they cut your ass, and that guaranteed money's gone. Like, you're either that bat bleep crazy, or this is some sort of a master God's plan, right?
Details on the contract for Antonio Brown. We have those details. We'll discuss it and get to more of your calls coming up now. That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
In the NFL, talent overrides character. And AB's got a lot of talent, so that's why he's there. He wanted out of Pittsburgh, wanted money. He got it. Hey, he goes to Oakland. We all think it's going to work there. John Gruden, man, I love the way you give this juice, energy. You're going to be the man. I got all kinds of these plays. He gets out. He goes to the New England Patriots. For all the New England haters and all the Antonio Brown haters, I got some bad news for you. It's going to work out great in New England. It's going to be great. He brings energy to practice every day. He's a talented football player. He's going to bring energy to the locker room. It's going to work because all the malcontents have gone to the New England Patriots. How's it worked out, JB?
I hear you loud and clear.
Sims, bad for the league, great for the Patriots. Antonio Brown will work out, he says. Look out, NFL. Here come the Pats again. I just have an issue with what he said there, though. Especially the very beginning of that.
Talent, in the NFL, talent overrides character.
Has a more unpatriot-like thing ever been said?
No, when you talk about this team, no.
That's the complete opposite of what the Patriots have preached and have been built on for a very long time. And I don't mean character in terms of good people or the Patriot way. No, I'm talking about football character, guys right. who work hard.
I'm in. Yeah,
are,
I'm in with
that
the
are
team.
About it's, football yeah. and the team. And I'm not talking about choir boys. I'm talking about football players that are committed to the team and playing for the team and committing themselves to everything it takes to win football games.
See, but when you construct your roster that way and select those people and you have these high character football all around type guys and say 85% of your locker room is good and controls that, by establishing that, it allows you at times to maybe take a chance on a player like this or two. Because then the locker room and that culture takes care of it. Now it's up to the player, can he adapt? You know, Bruschi's talked about it, Chatham, everybody. I mean, it's, you're going to be able to tell, I'm telling you. And I talked before in pregame yesterday over on Channel 4. We did game day. You're going to be able to tell it's the first time he's at the podium. If it's the same old AB, it might be short. It might be short. And that would hurt Drew Rosenhaus and his dealings with other players.
You're not going to be able to tell him one time at the podium whether or not he's changing his ways.
If he's buying in and you're getting the Patriots speak. It's like,
yeah, but you could buy in for 5 minutes at the podium, and by next week, you're not.
So if you're nuts and you're that crazy, I don't think those guys buy in because it's so your way.
He's so volatile.
Are you getting Patriots speak, or is he actually buying in? Because he can fake it.
He's so volatile, though. Like, how could you buy in on that? Oh, he's buying in at the podium. So what?
That's what you're going to have to. You're going to have to trust yourself.
It might make you feel a little bit better.
And then he's got to go out and he's got to make plays.
Paul Perillo said it yesterday in pregame. He goes, who cares what the guy says? Just forget what he says. There's only one way to make this work, and that's through your actions.
Yeah, throw a 3-yard slant and get back in the huddle and then let it go to five other places, not have you complain, and go jump on a guy's back if he scores a touchdown. Be happy for him. That's what you want to see.
Yeah, and then do it for 15 more weeks after you do it the first time. And do it through the end of the season.
Yeah.
All the way through. And not quit by the end. Not do it 1 week, not do it 2 weeks, but do it every single week for an entire season. Does he have that in him? That's a real question and a real concern. And the Patriots gave him a significant financial commitment, a $9 million signing bonus and $10 million guaranteed and a $15 million deal for this 1 year. But it actually has a one-year option for next year, as reported today by Adam Schefter. Here are the details on the contract. It includes a one-year team option for next year to help with the salary cap implications. Here's the tweet from Adam Schefter within the last hour. Patriots added an option year for Antonio Brown in 2020 at $20 million, which becomes guaranteed if executed per source. It was done to help for cap proration purposes this season. So they'll spread out the $9 million over 2 years. That's $4.5 million and $4.5 million. And that helps with their salary cap situation. What are you doing? No. And so that's easing the cap situation a little bit, but the Patriots are right up against it now.
Yeah. Who cares? Two other guys.
What do you mean, who cares?
If you want to sign somebody, you can sign somebody. That's just like...
Well, you can, but let me ask you a question. Who are you going to restructure now?
I don't care right now.
No, no, no. Let's say your buddy, Rob Gronkowski, decides week eight. You keep telling me week eight, Rob Gronkowski's coming back. Tell me, who's restructuring to get him back on?
Shaq Mason.
Maybe. Because it's not a small number for Rob Gronkowski.
Hightower, Shaq Mason.
You're going to re-sign and extend Dont'a Hightower?
No.
You're going to extend Devin McCourty?
I'm going to do Gilmore.
Gilmore's already done a number of restructures.
Right.
Can't do it.
That's right.
Gilmore's only on the cap for $9 million this year. Next year's $18
million. Can't happen. Uh-huh.
Next year's cap, I don't know. If they keep restructuring, it's not going to look good.
You're running out of options. Because you're right. You know, the cap can be manipulated in a number of different ways. But they're running out of ways to do it right now for this season. For next year, they're fine. But for this season that we're currently in,
Maybe that
they don't have a ton of options.
Maybe they went to Rosenhaus and said, hey, it's Gronkowski or this guy. Yeah, you find a way to get it done. Like, here's what we have. We'll push it to one of the players, and then we'll start to form our identity on offense based on it.
I think that this move is another sign that Gronk is not coming back, and everyone close to him and the team.
I'll give you more of that. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
617-779-0985. Victor in the car. Victor.
Hi. Obviously, time will tell, but my question is, do you think that AB did all this crazy drama with Oakland because he wanted to get out of there? Obviously, the Steelers wouldn't trade him to a contender, so he went to a bad team, and then he wanted to act like crazy so he could get cut and become a free agent and sign with a contender.
No, I don't think that was his plan from the beginning. I think that was his plan once he had issues there. Once he had issues, I think he wanted to get out of there. But no, I think he was initially excited to get $30 million guaranteed. I don't think he signed there with the intention of blowing it up. Do you?
No, I don't. I don't. I want to know what hit break point, though. Like, what was the moment? Was it a ball that was thrown by Carr? Was it a meeting with Gruden? Was it the area? Was it the city? I don't know. And you played in Pittsburgh your whole career. You played with Ben. You've won. You're productive, more than productive. Again, 8 straight years, over 100 catches. You know, then you can come into this locker room. You sign for $9 million. What's a guy like Edelman supposed to think? It's broke his balls for how many years? Super Bowl MVP, 3 rings. You know, I mean, you're sitting there. You're like, why you give this guy $9 million? But you see Edelman's response, 100, 100, 100, let's go. Loved it. Loved the signing. And that's what it's going to take. To be unselfish, to not have an ego, and not to look at a number and say, well, where's mine? Where's my piece of the pie? You know, we got so much pie, you can give out a lot of pie. You know, pie.
Tommy in Holyoke. Tommy, Holyoke. Thanks for hanging on.
Oh.
How does that happen? What is that?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How are you?
Good, good. Listen, I got to say about BC's mad at the Beatle and UMass's alumni's mad at the Beatle, but God, I love you guys.
Is this Benenson changing his voice?
Thank you, Tommy. Oh, this is Tommy. Right, Tommy's called us before. You've called us before, right,
so
Tommy?
So who's mad at Beatle?
Now, UMass is mad at Beatle now.
What do you got on Antonio Brown?
Antonio Brown, I think it's a great pickup. I think it's a win-win. First of all, Brady's got a plethora of receivers now he's never had in his career.
Yeah.
You know, and Gordon proved himself last night, and I think he's a team player. I mean, look at the way he went through that and scored that first touchdown. All right? So I think Brown's going to come in. I think he's going to be accepting to it all. And I think we might see the 17-0 season, the perfect season, maybe.
Or 19-0, yeah.
Or 16-0 in the regular season.
Sure.
Yeah. Any of those.
Yeah, I was thinking about this defensively, and I had this...
Thanks for the call, Tommy.
I had this plethora that I was trying to rack my brain with. You know, if you go nickel or dime or... You know. Tommy, UMass mad at you, huh, Beatle? Anybody from... These people are mad at you. Did they watch the last two games?
They should only be mad at themselves.
You should be mad at your defense.
Yeah, coach your defense. They need to find someone to coach your defense.
I'd be mad at your defense and your quarterback. It's two changes, defense, quarterback. That's why I watch football. I tell you, watch 3 hours. There's a problem. Yeah, I had watch game last night.
Careful, though. They'll get mad at you, too.
What are you mad at me for? I watch football.
Careful.
I sat through 3 hours of it.
They'll get mad.
Yeah.
Well, now it's been 6 hours between the first two games that we've won.
And I've invested.
We've invested 6 hours now.
You know, honest take.
I mean, I've invested 17 years.
It's honest take. I don't know why they're riding you.
A lot worse was said this weekend than what I said week one.
It's your Twitter fingers. It's your Twitter fingers. My Twitter fingers have gotten me in trouble before.
Rick is in Plymouth. Hey, Rick.
How you doing, guys?
How you doing, Rick?
Great day to be a Patriots fan. Just left the pro shop. I saw Mike Tomlin's underwear hanging from the flagpole still. I'll tell you this. What have we learned? Nothing in all the years from this team. In Bill, we trust. In Bill, we trust. If Bill says it, it's going to happen. I trust him. Antonio Brown, I almost went off the road when I first heard it. After I thought about it for a few minutes, I said, you know what? If Belichick wants this, I'm all in.
But he didn't say, I mean, we can assume that he wanted it, but I mean, to be fair, Belichick has said nothing about this so
not,
far.
Not a damn thing he has said. Right. We'll probably get something from him at some point on this, but not yet. Not yet from Bill.
The player is there.
On this signing. Not official yet. Not officially announced.
Quarterback addressed him last night by name.
Tell you who is talking about the signing.
Who?
Tom Brady. Not Tom Brady, the quarterback. Tom Brady Sr., the dad of Tom Brady, the quarterback.
He wasn't there last night.
Yeah, but he's talking. Wait till you hear what he had to say about Antonio Brown coming on board and where he thinks the Patriots are going as a result.
Oh, boy.
We'll tell you those quotes.
In the toilet, huh?
After
this. It's all downhill.
It sure is.
Hardy with the headlines.
Get ready for 6-10.
We'll tell you what the Brady family thinks of the Antonio Brown edition next.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Put that guy on. See if he's got the guts to talk to somebody who's going to ask him a tough question. Go ahead. Better yet, put his son on. Let's see what he has to say. Put his son on. Don't hide USA Today. Come on. Come on, talk shows. Hey, come on now. Come on right now. Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
Father of mine, tell me where have you been? You know I just closed my eyes. My whole world disappeared. Father of mine,
put that shit on!
Back to the day. Yeah, when I was still your golden boy. Back before you went away. I remember blue skies walking the block.
I spoke to the quarterback a couple times over the last month and a half. I said, when dad's ready, there's a platform for dad here. A
couple times, he says.
He says, it's not going to happen.
You know why?
We banned dad.
You know why? You're going through the wrong channels.
No, I've tried multiple.
You're going through Tom.
Yeah.
You got to go right to Tom Sr.
What's going on there?
Say it to somebody!
No, you just ask him directly. Was he there last night? I didn't.
It was not.
I didn't see him there.
No.
But the next time we see him there, that's when we make our...
The agents were there.
Push. That's when you make the push.
All the agents in the building.
You need to appeal directly to him.
Yeah.
Because that's what Ian O'Connor did. Ian O'Connor, ESPN, got Tom Brady Sr. on the phone on Saturday afternoon.
Funny how he picks up, huh?
Yeah, he picked up and he talked. In a story published today on ESPN.com, the elder Brady says this. Quote, "Do you think other teams will bother to show up this year?" Brady's father, Tom Sr., asks.
That's a good question.
"Or should one just meet us in Miami?" That, of course, being the site of Super Bowl 54. Do we have
okay,
to,
no, wait a minute.
So do we have to play the rest of these games, or do we just get to advance to the Super Bowl now?
Why do you reps before the Super Bowl calling games? We're back in the radio. We were on TV. Boy. It's a different call. We're back on the radio. It's good to be back on the radio side. But, like, in all honesty, Isn't this what everybody's talking about? Like, this the one that put you over?
Ian O'Connor writes, the elder Brady was laughing, of course, but as soon as the words were out of his mouth, he acted as if Bill Belichick had just stepped into the room. Quote, I probably shouldn't say that, he sighed. Yeah, you think? Here's quote. Next quote, it's going to take him, talking about Antonio Brown, 4 to 6 weeks to get a lay of the land, Tom Sr. said the day before the opener. But if he plays to his abilities and develops in the Patriot way, it should be a spectacular season for the Patriots. If I were a defensive coordinator, I would probably be losing a lot of sleep. We won the freaking Super Bowl last year, and it's pretty nice to add more talent. I'm feeling rather jubilant this afternoon.
Just tell us how you feel.
O'Connor writes, Brady has publicly entertained the idea of playing beyond his 45th birthday. His old man, for one, thinks he is capable of playing and taking this until age 47 or so.
Now we had a new number.
Where did that come from?
That's a new one.
Out of nowhere, 47? He says, I don't have any doubt he can. He's in the best physical shape of his life, and his arm is better. His mechanics are better. His thinking process is better. There's no question he can go 5-6 more years if he wants to.
I had a question at the beginning of that game. Like, the ball sort of floated on him a little bit. There was some indecision on some throws. And I'm thinking, okay, is there some issues with arm strength here? Or is he not fired in the hole? And then that throw to Dorsett? Oh, man. That was a freaking pill. And then the one to Dorsett over the top, he stepped up in the pocket, took a shot when he's throwing it. Yeah, there's no arm strength issues.
He said, I don't think there are any boundaries to what he can accomplish. If Tommy doesn't think he's performing at the highest level he expects to perform at,
that's the dad, Tommy.
I know he'll bail out. Tommy. But there's nothing I've seen or heard that indicates there's been the slightest regression at any time. Or, excuse me, the slightest regression in any area is what his father, Tom Brady Sr., tells Ian O'Connor at ESPN about Tom Brady and where he is at. He also talks about how it ends in New England, if it ends in New England. And it says here, in the end, as always, Belichick will be the judge of that if there's regression. So he fired backup and longtime Brady bud Brian Hoyer in favor of fourth-round draft choice Jarrett Stidham, who apparently assumes the role of the defeated would-be replacement Jimmy Garoppolo. Brady can be a free agent next offseason. As hard as it is to fathom him ever wearing another uniform, the possibility cannot be entirely ruled out. Brady is indeed selling his house, though the quarterback has swatted away the notion that this might be his first official step toward the door. Tom Sr. on that, Zoe. You don't want the house sitting on the market for 2, 3, 4 years if you get cut.
Okay.
Cut? Question mark, Ian O'Connor writes. It's a two-way street, said Sr. The Patriots may feel they have the arsenal to continue on for many years after Tommy's gone. And that makes Tommy disposable. As a result, while the attention has been given to Tommy's side of the contract, there's also the Patriots' side of the contract. You know as well as I do that Bill is not the least bit sentimental with his ball players. If Tommy regresses in Bill's eyes, then he becomes expendable, and Tommy would have no choice but to go somewhere else. Tommy would have no choice but to go somewhere else. I don't like that quote.
I mean,
I don't like that quote at all.
Brady's always even used the word cut. Like, we all get cut. You know, it happens to everybody.
In the back of my mind, these two are going to break up and then they're going to blame each other for whose fault it was. No, I wanted to stay. You didn't want me. We wanted you, but you wanted to leave.
All right.
I don't even want to think
you
about
go out
this.
And you win the whole
well,
okay, so
you don't have to. You don't have to think about it right now because the heir apparent is not around unless you're convinced it's Steggy. And they're just going to groom him for another year after this one. And then by that time, they'll be ready. And that's, you know, that's the plan. And if Tom Brady is, you know, like Tom Sr. just said, with advances in modern science and his high level of income, he's going to live to be 245, maybe 300 years old and keep playing this game for many, many more years, then, okay, that would be your scenario. But beyond that, I don't think they're looking at Stidham as going to be the next quarterback, and they're going to continue on with him and Jacoby Myers, N'Keal Harry, and maybe Antonio Brown if they manage to ink him up to a long-term deal. That really? That's what you're thinking about right now at this moment?
I don't think any of us know what Bill Belichick is ever thinking.
That's proof over the weekend.
But he is also smart enough to know that, you know, his best laid plans can get blown up by the continued good play of the people that he has here, in this case, Tom Brady. I mean, it was Garoppolo. That didn't work out. Things have worked out swimmingly well without that. So, you know, you can't plan for anything, and careful what you do plan for, because it may not end up with the best result or better than the one that you're going to get otherwise.
But Tom Brady Sr. says, do we have to show up this year, or does another team just have to meet us in Miami?
I think they still have to show up.
That's what he said. Or will other teams bother to show up is the question he has. Will they still bother to show up, or should a team just meet us in Miami?
It's hard going out to eat down there just to get reservations as it is, like on a normal regular weekend. Like, Super Bowl is going to be a bitch.
Coming up next, the sounds of Sunday.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Hello, football, my old friend. I'm sitting watching you again. The games on Sunday are my favorite thing. But when the guys who are announcing say something stupid, we will make fun of them Monday. And so we play all the sounds of Sunday.
In the pocket, baby. Get in there. Yeah. Get in there. Oh.
Slip it.
There it is. There it is.
Sounds of Sunday. Let's get it going here.
I'll tell you, it feels like real football season. I guess
we may need to mix in a new song or two this year on the Sounds of Sunday. What do you think?
On this?
No, not this. On the intro.
Oh, yeah, we'll do some new ones.
Yeah, we didn't do any last year. We rotated. We made so many the year before.
Right.
It's been a couple of years.
All right, we'll do some new ones. Yeah. Start with Cowboys Radio. First touchdown of the day.
Cobb in a slot on the right. Out of the gun. Prescott play action. Got a man wide open to the middle. That ball is caught by Jarwin at the five. And he walks in easy for the first Dallas touchdown of the year. Kellen Moore is a genius again.
They play actioned it. Nobody had Blake Jarwin covered down the middle of the field. You would have thought the Giants had seen enough of him in Week 17 last year, right, Brad? When he had his three touchdowns, they better figure out a way to stop 89.
It is the Academy Sports first touchdown of the game, and now Brett Maher for the Bank of America extra point to tie the game with 3:19 left first quarter.
I tell Winship, you know, he had his sales for Patriots Radio. Don't ever do this to the broadcast. It's pathetic. It's Dallas freaking Cowboys. The Cowboy radio again. He wide open down the middle there. Hey, what do you think, Tex Ram? Hey, you know, we cover him. It's brought to you by someone on the bank. Nope.
Every first down has a sponsor. That first down brought to you by.
What did they do last year? They start PA at the point after touchdown. It's brought to you by. They sell.
First
the
down PAT. Brought to you by Texaco.
That was the point used to sell the red zone to Hines.
First down brought to you.
Oh, my God. Red zone to Hines. Yeah.
Third down brought to you by oil.
That blown coverage brought to you by Dallas Irrigation. Blow out your sprinkler system this fall. Don't let them freeze. All right. Cardinals radio. Game tying touchdown here in the fourth quarter.
Well, this is it right here. You're going to down one up for the little guys. Going to put a pill to Larry. Well, this is it right here. Nut cutting time.
You know, but say you do it, get your nuts cut. That bomb, picture of that bomb, is that?
Oh, that bag bomb?
That's a real thing?
That's a real product.
If somebody would have dry issues,
Yeah.
With the change in weather?
That would work for you.
Go back. Murray in the gun. Two receivers right, two to the left, including Fitz, who's in the slot. And now they shift everybody around. First and goal on the four. Fitz in motion left to right. Shotgun snap. Murray rolls to the right. Throws near side to Fitz. Caught! And he's into the end zone for the touchdown! Back-to-back touchdown passes by Kyler Murray. There's the innovation. Executed beautifully. And they're 2 points away from tying this thing with 43 seconds left.
And they go to the Japanese fighting fish. Larry Fitzgerald, the scourge of the red zone.
Can I just, point of order here, Your Honor? This whole setup.
Well, this is it right here. Nut cutting time.
Right.
Murray in the gun.
It was not. It was so painfully obvious that the Cardinals were going to tie that game, get the 2-point conversion. I'm only shocked that they didn't go on to win it. The hapless Lions and the defensive genius of Matt Patricia will allow 17, 18 unanswered in the last half of the fourth quarter to blow a lead.
16-point lead with 6 minutes left.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
What are you doing?
So, no, there was the nut cutting time was over. It was obvious that the Cardinals were going to, at the very least, tie that game up. I'm just shocked they didn't win it outright.
Are Japanese fighting fish, those badasses?
Oh, yeah, they're very good.
Did you get to ever get the Tetris for your kid? Like, you got to keep them separate? Like, in those little jars you get at the pet store?
Yeah, multiple tanks is the only way.
And you
get, really
they have dividers them. To put them because they would eat each other.
Japanese fighting
That's
fish.
That's awesome.
Nice coach you have there.
Oh, yeah. He's real deal. He's propped himself up on that crutch, on that single crutch for the entire game.
Did you hear him after the game? He's like, no, it's obvious there. We had to go for it there because you need points. It's what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
it's evident. I've the structure's right there.
I don't have any interest in that guy right now. Dolphins radio.
This
is what it sounds like when your team is losing 59-10 in the fourth quarter. What do you think they're talking about, if anything?
The beach. Nothing.
Walton takes the handoff off right tackle. Not a lot of running room out to the maybe a yard gain to the 31. Michael Pierce the stop. Third and nine coming up.
13 seconds.
What is it, baseball
nothingness?
Broadcast?
Baseball.
And then he copied the PA guy.
What am I listening to, the Red Sox?
Oh, that's right. He's echoing the PA guy. Listen.
Third and nine coming up.
Oh, who's that high school?
It sounds like that
high school guy.
The high school mimicking guy.
Yeah.
Check that.
So the Patriots come to town next week. The Dolphins travel to Dallas. And they'll end September back home here against the Chargers.
Well, this is Jimmy Cephalo talking.
Rosen out of the shotgun. Three receivers flank to his left.
Like he's doing the broadcast in secret. Like someone yelled at him. It's like, turn the damn radio off. We're not doing this anymore.
Okay, so the Patriots will be here next week, and then they got to go on the road.
Jimmy Cephalo. Jimmy Cephalo's talking there. So obviously, Bob Greasy is trying to asphyxiate himself. Joe Rose, the other guy, who's got a lot of energy, is real. Hey, Zoe, it's good to see you. Come on to Joe Rose show this week, which I will do. Because I like Joe.
Two or three.
No gain on the play.
Scratch that, no gain.
Third and nine coming up.
You know what he sounds like there? Remember Bob Ross, the painter? Oh, what you gonna do here?
Yes,
there's gonna be a nice little path for the bunny rabbit.
Bunny rabbit's gonna.
Walton takes the handoff off right tackle. Not a lot of running room out to the maybe a yard gain to the 31. Michael Pierce the stop.
Put a couple of little bushes down here, maybe for a rabbit to hide.
I like those guys, and nice out of respect for that broadcast, I'm not gonna go say hi to him before the game because I don't want to rub it in. Because Joe's always like, "Don't you get your ring again? We got nothing down here."
First down, sadly, Scott County.
That kid would make me go watch that high school game, wherever he broadcast.
Scratch that. I didn't catch it. Turns out I didn't catch it.
Turns out not a completion.
Do you know during our Pop Warner games, we have an announcer and a DJ? It's pretty good.
So Zoe got a present during the game yesterday on the Patriots radio broadcast.
Brady stands in, guns it to the left side, caught by Edelman on the run, hit him in stride, ran it across the 40-yard line, and tackled by Hilton to the 42.
Field goal.
Hey, very nice of Al Michaels sent more mashed potatoes over. I missed him in a pregame, and I went over, and he had a nice little weekend. They love coming here, and they stay at the Four Seasons. Oh, wouldn't you like
that? Oh, Al's the best. He's the best play-by-play guy in the business.
You had the mashed potatoes, yeah.
We're supposed to be the ones offering the hospitality to him, but he's feeding you.
Yeah.
The first and 10 out of the...
They get better hospitality, Bob.
We should be getting potatoes mashed sent over to his broadcast booth.
You should have seen
why mashed potatoes?
You should have seen the catering going in there at halftime.
Why mashed potatoes?
Yes.
Holy smokes.
Because of the way the mashed potatoes are presented in that square tin that had some melted butter across the top, and there was a slight crust there, and there was a big ladle. The guy said, here, try it. And Al, during the broadcast, sent another bowl over.
Oh, all right.
And Capello actually took a spoon and had some.
They didn't look like that.
He goes,
I can tell you they looked way better.
That's
than
KFC.
That.
That's pretty good stuff.
There's nothing wrong with KFC mashed potatoes. I know KFC mashed potatoes.
That's good. If you want cafeteria style potatoes with zero salt and gravy made out of a packet, but is delicious, you eat the KFC mashed potatoes.
I don't think there's zero salt in any
KFC. There's
probably
plenty of salt in there.
Hey, we did hear a familiar sound from Bob Soucy last night.
He didn't turn his head around for the pass.
And you're lucky he saw this coming.
Mm-hmm.
Brady.
Here we go.
Here, keep it playing. You got more?
Mm-hmm.
Brady goes down. He learns, and as he talked about, how to take hits now. He turns so he doesn't land on that shoulder. You did that. Good to have you back.
I got to watch that, don't I?
You didn't do it on TV. You do it here.
Third and 16 for the 21 Baltimore smash marks. Like this.
And you're lucky he saw this coming.
Mm-hmm.
Four games on TV. Never did it. Now all of a sudden he's got sleeves rolled up and his finger on his lip.
Mm-hmm. Sound like he's drinking some of his hot tea.
He did turn and ask for water. Hot water at the end of the game.
I went and got it.
Oh, you did it.
I went and got it for him.
That's so nice of you.
I did.
More you can do.
We take care of each other in there.
Versatility.
Finally, Zoe, very happy to see some familiar faces there in front of the booth last night.
Good to see you as we slid back over to the radio side, our friends in front of us here. We'd love to stay active, raising those fists, those cups of them. Beatles right here. He's here. Beetle. Yeah, there you go. Stand up. Yeah. There you are.
There you are.
There's no way those three are going to work tomorrow. God bless them.
Yeah, well, you need a job to go to work.
Let's just hope they've got somebody to get them home after this game.
Mr. Party Pooper.
Such a Debbie Downer, Soucy.
Been producing the rideshare app and be going to the rideshare lot.
Hope they're taking an Uber or a Lyft. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. I love those guys. Those lunatics.
Yeah.
I love them. And they don't leave early.
You know when they get...
They stick in there to the bitter end.
Do you know
That's
when they
I
get...
love that crowd's leaving early. These guys, they're not going nowhere.
They never raise the fist to cheer except for one moment during a game. It's every time they recognize the military and they come out in the end zone. Everybody's like, let's give a hand for the troops of the night. They put the beers down. Fist pumps. No. Yeah. USA. Damn right. God, I wanted Army win this weekend.
Oh.
Stupid.
And Michigan celebrating that win like they had won the national title or something.
Embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Where's their season going, Hardy?
I don't know. If you need double overtime in Ann Arbor to beat Army,
yeah.
My guess is nowhere good.
Isn't that Big Brother? Isn't Big Brother your Big Brother?
Yeah, that's Big Brother.
Big Brother.
Big Bad Brother. They're in Ann Arbor. Double overtime to beat an unranked team. Sharp. All right, that's it for Sounds of Sunday,
Jim. Thanks, Artie. Thanks, Jim. Thanks, T-Bone.
Nice job, boys.
Thanks, everybody. 90 seconds, no commercials, headlines, and we're right back with more of your calls.
Hot.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.